to your name and to no other name. And Father, that our praises would come from the depths of who we are. Lord, as we sang in that very first song, Lord, that we have to make a choice and a decision. Lord, that we'll worship you when you give, and we'll worship you when you take away. And we love you and trust you enough to know that you do what is right and what is best for us. Lord, that you alone deserve our praise. And Father, may it be eternally true in our lives and for the life of this church family, Lord, that we will not rest, that we just didn't sing those words and just think, well, that was a cool song, but we really engaged in what that meant, that we would not rest until the whole world hears the name of Jesus, the name of Jesus that wipes away every tear. The name of Jesus that brings salvation. The name of Jesus that brings hope, that brings peace, that brings purpose, that brings joy. Lord, that they would know that there is one way to find salvation is in the name of Jesus. So God, we just say to you, Lord God Almighty, worthy is the Lamb that was slain. Lord, I thank you for these that have made a commitment to be here this morning, Lord, on a very, very important day in the life of our church. Lord, my heart's just always transparent for our people. And I prayed and envisioned this room being completely packed with people. Lord, I thank you for those that have made a commitment to be here today. For this momentous day, Lord, we really begin to set forth and begin to take steps towards being the church far beyond what we have been before. Though, Lord, you have been gracious to us and there have been wonderful things that have happened. Lord, we're building on an incredible foundation. But God, our desire is to go much further and to go much deeper into who you are, and Father, who you want us to be as individuals and as a church. So God, I just pray you'd move in this moments we spend together. Father, we're looking at Vision 2020. What does it mean for us? Lord, as we ask the question we've been asking for the last five Sundays together, and even further back than that, Lord, what is our next step? When I pray with the person here this morning that's got that commitment card in their hand, they don't know what their next step is. Lord, you would show it to them. They would see it. They would understand it. And they would make a step forward. Or maybe for many that have never taken a step forward. Lord, whether in their giving or in their connecting and growing and committing and going, they would make that commitment. Father, thank you for our vision team, Lord, the commitment they've made. Lord, to be a part of this process, and I pray your blessings upon them. And Father, as we continue to take these next steps, God, would you speak through me? Lord, a weak, unworthy vessel. Lord, it's just like everybody else sitting in these chairs this morning. Father, I'm just humbled that you would choose me to be your mouthpiece, and I pray that's what I would be this morning. Nothing more than that. Speak truth and life and hope and vision in the life of your church, I pray. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Thank you for being here this morning. Would you take your Bibles and turn to Joshua chapter 3? Joshua chapter 3. A lot happening in Petal this weekend. A lot of all kind of things. Of garage sale and Shekinah glory trip and 24-hour days of prayer and show choir thing packed out last night and baseball tournament. Just all kind of things happening. I'm just so glad you made it to be in the Lord's house today. I want to talk about this one question. I prayed it already, and that is this. What is our next step? We've been talking about Vision 2020 for a long time, really, I would say, in the grand scheme of things, maybe not so long, but we've been talking about this since January as far as the message series goes. We've been talking about it over the last year about the importance of really us asking the question, God, where are we? God, where do you want us to go? And Lord, how do we need to get there? What does that look like? And we don't know all the answers to all those questions, though. We feel like we've got a handle around that, and we're hoping you've got that handle as well. But do me a favor. I just want to give you a test. Don't you feel like a test on a cloudy Sunday morning? Doesn't it feel like test-taking weather? A lot of our kids are going to take a lot of their park assessments, I think, this week. So everybody's fired up about tests this week. So let's just take that off the screen real quick. Michael, would you do that? And this is the four key words, all right? Don't look on your bulletin. Just look up at me, as ugly as that might be. Our four key words, all right? What are those four key words? Can you remember them? They are connect, grow, commit, and go, right? Those are our four key words, right? Now, what is the overall arching thing if we could think about this idea of the one word that would really kind of sum up the whole thing, kind of the end vision. It's not a statement I necessarily want you to memorize, though I want you to know the connect, grow, commit, go. That is my passion, that you know that. That becomes part of who we are. It is our DNA. It simply rolls off our tongue. What is your church about? What is Petal First Baptist about? Well, here's our vision. What is our vision? You can pop it up there. It's past the scriptures there, I know, Michael. But our vision is, very quickly, to think about it this way, is that we desire to be a people, right? We desire to be a people who God can radically transform. We desire to be a church that God can radically transform by God into a people he can use to transform others. What is Petal First Baptist about? Well, I'll tell you what it's about. It's about seeing my life transformed by the gospel. That's what it's about. I want to see God transform me and my family, and that Christ is first and foremost in everything that we do. That is my calling in life. And then that's our calling as a church, is to be a people that God can transform, so we can be instruments, we can be a people that God can use to transform our community, to transform our state, our nation, and the world. And how do we go about doing that? Well, we want to let people know that we want to see people connected to the body of Christ, growing, committed, and going. There is, in a nutshell, right there. We've talked about this over the last several weeks together, and so I hope maybe we're getting it. You're beginning to embrace what this means, that we desire to be a radically transformed by God into a people that he can use to transform others. Now, he's got to use us, because it doesn't happen. We can't do the transformation, right? You can't transform yourself, much less transform somebody else, right? It can't happen. But God does the transforming work in us. And then as he transforms us and changes us, all of a sudden we begin to see ourselves differently. We begin to see our families differently. We begin to see our community differently. We begin to see opportunities, and we begin to prioritize differently. Because see, here's what we want you to see, is this vision 2020 is not just something, again, that we put these cool little banners and cool little illustrations and do a really cool mail out. We want you to know we do this because we really are asking you, we're pleading with you, we're putting before you the desire to take a step much further than you've ever gone before. And as we do that as individuals, we begin to do that as a church corporately, right? And we begin to be this radically transformed bunch of people whom God can use to transform the world. Yes. Thank you, Chris Robbins. Yes, that's what we want to be. We just don't want to just do church because that's what we're supposed to do. We just don't want to go to church because that's what our parents did. There's nothing wrong with those things. I'm glad my parents took me to church. I'm glad I had a drug problem from the age 9 months prior to when I was born. I'm glad I have that problem. I was drugged to church all the time. I mean, I understand that, right? I love that. But I want you to know that God's calling us to do more, to build off the foundation, whether it's a very long one for you or a very short one. God wants to build off the foundation so that we can be a people and a church that God can use. I don't know about you, but I want to be a church that God can use. That God just doesn't say, well, Petal First Baptist, man, they could, maybe, might be, but no, we look at that and go, no, I see that God is using this church, and I want to be a part of that. God says, I want to bless that church. I want to use that church. Why? Because they're open vessels. They're conduits through which God can move. That's what we want to see. And so the thought is, what is our next step? Well, the people of Israel had to ask that question. All of them, the time they left the nation of Egypt and the Exodus experience, they were always asking what's their next step. And God only led them to the next step. So I want you to know that though we're focused on Vision 2020, and we kind of get that idea, we're going to 2020. What I want us to ask today, though, is with that in mind, with that at the end goal, because remember, for the nation of Israel, what was the end goal for them? The promised land, right? They were headed to the promised land. So that was always in their view, it was always in their mind. Just like for us, 2020 is our vision, but even more than that, eternity is our goal, right? But what is our next step with that in mind? What did God do for them? He fed them every day. Why? So they would simply do this. They would ask, what's the next step? He didn't give them enough food for next week or next month. It was just enough for the day. So what is our next step tomorrow? What is our next step next week and next month? We want to ask those questions. And so the nation of Israel gets to this incredibly important point. Moses has died. Joshua is now the leader. And they're on the edge of the promised land. And God just simply says, I want you to take the next step. Listen to what it says in God's word. Joshua chapter 3, beginning in verse number 1. Would you mind? I know we've stood up several times. Would you mind standing in the honor of reading God's word? I shouldn't apologize for asking you to do that, but I believe God's word is so important that we honor it in this way. Then Joshua rose early in the morning. Some of us would not have done well on this day, right? Us morning people, we haven't done very well. And he and all the sons of Israel set out from Shittim and came to Jordan, and they lodged there before they crossed. And it came about the end of 3 days that the officers went through the midst of the camp, and they commanded the people, saying, when you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God with the Levitical priest carrying it, then you shall set out from your place and go after it. However, there shall be between you and a distance about 2,000 cubits by measure. Do not come near it, right? Do not come near it. Do not come near it, that you may know the way by which you shall go, for you have not passed this way before. Let me just stop right there. We have not passed the way that we're going yet, right? We've not gone past this point. We're at this line here, if you will, right? And we're asking God, we're going, we're not going to go. So what does he say? You keep your eye on the ark. Don't keep your eye on Joshua. Don't keep your eye on the leaders. Keep your eye on the ark. What do? Keep our eyes on God. We haven't gone this way before. Verse 5, then Joshua said to the people, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. And Joshua spoke to the priests, saying, take up the ark of the covenant, cross ahead of the people. So they took up the ark of the covenant and went ahead of the people. And the Lord said to Joshua, this day I will begin to exalt you in the sight of all of Israel, that they may know that just as I have been with Moses, I will be with you. And you shall moreover command the priests who are carrying the Ark of the Covenant, saying, when you come to the edge of the waters of the Jordan, you shall stand still in the Jordan. And we're going to talk about the Jordan River in a minute. This is significant. Then Joshua said to the sons of Israel, come here and hear the words of the Lord your God. And Joshua said, by this you shall know that the living God is among you, and that he will assuredly dispossess from you before all those ites right there, right? Verse 11, behold, the ark of the covenant of the Lord of all the earth is crossing over ahead of you into the Jordan. Now then, take for yourselves 12 men from the tribes of Israel, one man for each tribe. Watch this. Watch verse 13, okay? I got to tell you this before you get this, so you get the significance. The Jordan River is like a raging river at this point. It is like at flood stage, most biblical scholars tell us, and it is a raging river. And look at the instructions God about to give them, all right? Verse 13, and it shall come about when the soles of the feet of the priests who carry the ark of the Lord of the earth shall rest in the waters of the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan shall be cut off. And the waters which are flowing down from above shall stand in one heap. Wow. So it came about when the people set out from their tents to cross the Jordan with the priests carrying the ark of the covenant before the people. And when those who carried the ark came into the Jordan and the feet of the priests carrying the ark were dipped into the edge of the water, for the Jordan overflows all its banks at all the days of the harvest, that the waters which were flowing down from above stood and rose up in one great heap a great distance away at Adam, the city that is beside Zarethan. And those which were flowing down toward the Sea of Arabah, the Salt Sea, were completely cut off, so the people crossed opposite Jericho. And the priests who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the middle of the Jordan. Dry ground! While all Israel crossed on the dry ground until the nation had finished crossing the Jordan. God, help us be willing to have the faith to take the next step this morning, I pray, in Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I don't know about you, but I would have been really good to be the tribe in the back. Wouldn't you? I would not have been a priest that day. I would not have signed up for priest duty. I don't know about you. I'm good to step in a nice pool of calm, cool water that's I can see the bottom of. But ask me to step into a raging river, carrying no less the Ark of the Covenant, and step in the water. I'm not sure I'd been real excited about that. But he simply told them in the nation of Israel, I just want you to take the next step. I'm not asking you to go conquer the promised land today. I just want you to take the next step. And sometimes in life, and this preacher is one of them, I can guarantee you, and sometimes as a church, we get so overwhelmed with all the stuff that needs to be done in our lives that we forget to take the next step because we see all that's there and we get lost and we get discombobulated and we get distressed and worried and we realize, oh my goodness, I need to just take the next step. So my question this morning, here it is again for the third time, God, what is my next step? What is my next step personally? Right? We need to ask that of ourselves as we walk our way through this morning. We want to talk about this vision of the next step. The vision that we feel compelled and called that we want to make a significant impact in the places where we live, in the jobs that we work, in the schools that we attend, in the neighborhoods that we live. We want to make a significant impact. Not one that is just a slight dent that just says, oh, excuse me. One that people will take note and notice what God is doing in your life and in the life of this church. And no, for no other reason, For no other reason, let it be so clearly said, for no other reason than to point people and say, to God be the glory. It is what God is doing, not what you're doing, not what I'm doing, right? We need to be so careful about that. That we point people to the Lord and say, this is what God is doing. God is transforming this work. But we want it to be significant. And guess what? If it's significant, that means that God's doing it. Because we can't make anything significant happen on our own. Right? We can come up with great plans. We can come up with all these things we can do. But if God's not in it, then it's pointless, right? Right? Good, good. I was with my friends at Shekinah Glory yesterday. Come on now. I need a little help from time to time. My voice is on the edge. I need your help to help me out from time to time, all right? We want to make a significant impact. And how do we do that? We pray and believe one of the things is that we have to have a vision. We have to have something that is far greater than us that says, God, if you don't do this, we can't do it. God, we want to step so close to the edge. As a matter of fact, we want to this morning begin to step in the water, right? The old Southern Gospel song, and wade out a little bit deeper, right? We want to take a step out further than we've taken before. And one that might be a little scary, one that might be a little unknown, one that might be a little bit, maybe feel a little bit unbalanced. But we know that's what God is calling us to do. But notice, God did not part the waters. Remember in the first time that God parted the waters, did the people step in the water first? No. What did Moses do? He held his staff over the water, right? God didn't do the same thing again. He wanted to step foot, but once their feet were in the water, it was then that God parted the waters. That is significant. We got to step into the water. That means I got to step out in faith. And we have a choice, and I want to come back and grab these again. And I shared this 5 weeks ago, but I want to grab them again because I believe maybe we haven't still all got it yet. I want you to get it. I want you to know it. And we said it for a year and a half, and so for you to grab it in 5 Sundays, it's tough. We sent a mail out to you in the mail this week that hopefully gave you that information again for you to look at and pray through. But here are the 4 thoughts. We have three choices. We can go back the way we were, right? Which, again, is not a bad thing. It's not horrible. We weren't like some, you know, satanic church or something, right? We're not a bad church. Right? We can go back the way we were doing things 30 years ago because those were more comfortable, more easy, and it didn't seem to step on anybody's toes maybe as much in the new generation maybe. And so we just want to kind of stay like we are. There are a lot of churches that are stuck here. We're just going to stay like we are and just hang on till Jesus comes. Now, there are days I feel like that, don't you? Good night. There are days that's so frustrating and discouraging. You look around and we just think, oh, thank God my family's going to heaven. You know, I'm good. But then we see all the losses and the decay and the sadness and all the junk that's there. And then we see the God's heart for the world and we think, no, God, don't come yet. God, don't come yet. Right? Folks, we can't go back to the way we were. We often talk about the good old days, right? You ever talk about the good old days? You ever hear your parents or grandparents talk about the good old days? Right? Now, there are some good old days, right? There's some things that are good about the old days. Back in the good old days, television, we could all watch as a family. Amen. Right? They're watching shows. It was Friday, it was my day off, and I was actually working on my day off at the house. But I was there, and there was a show on. It was a good old classic show, Bewitched. Right? Some of you remember that show. Some of you have no idea. It's okay. It's not anything modern at all. It's like 25 years old. All clean. No curse words. Everything's clean. It's good, right? You know, you think about all those good old days, those shows, and life seemed to be a little bit easier. We go back even further than that. You talk to folks that were alive in the Great Depression and with the good old days. But if you start talking about the good old days and really start getting down to the nitty-gritty about the good old days, when I was in Alabama, the good old days included no telephone. Okay, I could probably live without a telephone. Most of us would probably love to chunk our telephone half the time that we have it, right? Okay, but no power. Okay, I like my air conditioner. I've enjoyed my heat in January and February, right? That's back in the good old days. Hey, how about a good old outhouse? Let's go back to the good old days. Okay, I might live without air conditioner, but I do not at 1 o'clock in the morning want to have to go outside to the outhouse. But that was the good old days, right? Sometimes we get nostalgic. We think about the good old days back in the church, and there's nothing wrong with the good old days. Matter of fact, we're going to go back to the good old days back in the book of Acts, beginning next Sunday, and start working our way through the book of Acts, and we're going to talk about the good old days, because there's some great things we can learn, but we can't even do some of the things they did then. We can't do them now, no more than we can do them 30 or 50 years ago, right? Now, we don't change the message, right, church? We don't change the message, but we change the way we get the message out, okay? The same thing we can stay like we are. Right? God's done some great things over these last 3 years. We can just keep doing what we're doing. And I believe God would bless that. I don't think there's anything wrong with what we're doing. But what our calling is, what we believe our challenge is that God wants to take us even further. Right? In other words, we don't get satisfied and say, well, God, this is good enough. And what he's done is good. Right, church? It's good. Amen? Good. 20 of you have finally woken up. The rest of the 200 of you, I need you to wake up. All right? God has done some great things. Amen? Good. I'm getting closer. We're almost there, right? We'll get there by the end, right? We can stay just like we are. We will say, God, we love what you're doing right where we are, but God, we know we want you to do more in my life personally, in my family, in us corporately. God wants to do more in Petal, right? God wants to do more in Mississippi and beyond. The third thing we do is we can boldly move ahead. We can take the next step. That's our call. That's what we believe that God's calling us to do. And we're asking you to make that commitment this morning. Just a moment. We're going to ask you to take that commitment card. Every person in the room, as a family, you can come and bring that commitment card. We're going to ask you to bring this commitment card to the altar. Turn it over so it's not where anybody can see what your commitments are. It's not the idea. We want to turn those in and say, this is my commitment. I'm committing to Vision 2020. I believe this is what God is calling us to do and who God is calling us to be as a church. Now, again, this thing is going to evolve. It's going to change. We don't have some concrete, rigid barriers. We've got some guidelines, some fences, if you will, to kind of guide us forward. But we believe this thing is going to evolve and grow and become its own as you begin to adopt it and embrace it and make it your own. We need to make that commitment, that next step. Now, notice, there's a DNA shift that has to happen very quickly. We've talked about this over the last 4 Sundays. There is a call to connect deeply. Not connect to the surface, not disconnect just barely, not just attend the church, not just show up when you can, when you want to, when it's convenient, but be deeply connected to the body of Christ. Deeply connected to the Lord, deeply connected to other people, right? And deeply connected to Petal First Baptist. And if it's not Petal First Baptist and God calls you somewhere else, then praise God, or you go attend another church and you're here today, you need to be deeply connected to the body of Christ. Why? Because that sounds good? No, because it's biblical. Oh, I should have left the choir up here. Choir, can y'all come back up here? Maybe y'all help me a little bit. Y'all were fired up singing this song a while ago. It's biblical, isn't it? To be deeply connected to the body of Christ. Not because we can't think of anything else better to do on a Sunday. It's because we believe that's what God's called us to do. And not just because we think, okay, God, I've called us to do it. I've got to do it. I want to come. I want to be connected to you. I hope you want to be connected to me. Thank you, David. There's 4 of you over there who want to be connected to me. I want to be connected to you, right? That's God's call for us, is to be deeply connected. Not on the surface of, hey, again, we're all good at surface. Hey, how you doing? And we're answering before the person even asks us the question, right? Automatically, we answer. If they get it out first, it's fine, good, great. Couldn't be better, right? We want to go past that point. Be connected deeply. Secondly, we have to make a commitment to call to grow deeper spiritually. And this is a deep call. And this is one that a lot of this is going to happen on your own, in your own prayer closet, in your own home, in your own business, wherever it is you do that time where you grow with the Lord. You're going to have to do that on your own. We're going to encourage you and help you and do those kind of things in a life group. We want you to grow deeper in a life group, no question. But a life that's growing deeper, we want to continue to talk about, because here's what we know. If we don't grow deeper, then we're in deep weeds. By the way, let me correct, by the way, about the pine trees. Ken Sewell got me good, and Elisa Sewell. I said pine trees blow over easily. That's not really true. I don't know what in the world I was talking about. I'm not an arborist. Is that what they're called, Ken? Arborist, is that what they're called? Tree people, I'll call them out. Tree people, okay? They've got some strong roots in them. Whatever the trees are that are shallow, right, and that blow over, that's the kind of trees we don't want to be. I don't know what kind of trees those are. And one other thing, it's been on my heart for 2 weeks. Our God is so amazing. I don't know if you noticed, like last week, I was picking a pine tree. About a week and a half ago, God sent a memo to every pine tree. Every pine tree I saw, longleaf pines, not the short kind, but the longleaf pine. Did you notice this? Every tree dropped its pine cones. Did you notice that? Look, good night. Just that by itself. It's just like, our God is awesome. It's pine cones, right? I mean, really? But I just thought, God, you are so amazing. You somehow sent out some little, I don't know how you do it, but somehow in the little tree DNA, they all knew. Nobody said, hey, pine tree. I didn't walk out to my pine tree and say, hey, drop your pine cones today. Right? Wouldn't have mattered. God does it. God does those kinds of things. And it's the biblical illustration of what God is doing inside of us. Nobody can see what's happening inside that pine tree. But there's evidence of it on the outside, right? The pine cones are dropping. Why? Because spring's coming. And praise God, here comes the yellow pollen we can hardly wait for, right? All of you want warm weather. Remember, the yellow pollen comes with the warm weather. Just saying, all right? Oh, y'all, come on, people, really. Golly, y'all are killing me. My voice is going to be completely gone by the time I get through. It's coming, right? What happens? The roots are going deep. Third thing, you got to commit sacrificially. We got to commit sacrificially. What does that mean? Here's what we're calling you to do, and we're saying unashamedly. We want you to sacrifice in order to happen. So yesterday, to go to Shekinah Glory, for some of you, was a sacrifice, right? It was all day. It was this over sheetrock over your head in Shekinah Glory, downtown and in Northside Drive. And I may never see the child that steps inside that daycare, that school, they're going to start to reach their community that is in bad shape. We got somebody that went with us that knows all about that community. Law enforcement, they know, they've been in that community a lot of times. What's going to change that? More law enforcement? Well, yeah, that's important. You know what's going to change it? It's churches like Shekinah Glory that began to reach the mamas and the daddies and the children and teach them to know Jesus. That's what's going to change them. So that's why I'm holding T-Rock yesterday. And I'll be honest with you, there was a quiet time or two I thought, boy, it'd be nice to be in my recliner about right now. Boy, right now that hurts just doing that right now. It hurts. Some of you gave up. Some of you were up all night long getting ready for garage sale. So you can, some of you went to the thing with us yesterday. Others of you, four of you, about to get on an airplane and stay on an airplane for like a long time, 20-plus hours, be away from your family for 10 days. Why in the world would you do that? We're asking you unashamedly, church family, to commit sacrificially, which means you're going to have to sacrifice. But to sacrifice for the gospel, there is no greater joy than to sacrifice for Jesus. We got to show that and live that. Good night. The last thing, a call to multiply rapidly. I got to talk to one of the life groups, and Gary, just want to brag on you, just an encouraging word. Gary wanted his class to evaluate him. I may do this in the church, just to evaluate the sermons. Of course, I know what some of the answers are going to be. I'm too long, and I talk too fast, and I know those things. But anyway, he was asking, how can I make my life group better? One of the things we were talking about is we really believe we want your life group to grow and to multiply. Here's what we know and understand. If we don't begin to go and multiply, folks, we are losing the battle in our culture. Did you know that in America, we are losing the battle as far as churches to people? Mississippi is one of the most church states in America. But we're going to Toledo, Ohio this summer, which you can be a part of, to a state and to a city that has less than 2,000 members, Southern Baptist churches, or members in those churches. 40-something churches for over a million people. We have to multiply rapidly. That's why we're going to be a part of areas that are planting churches. So we're going to partner with Shekinah Glory. Why? Because we want to help them plant their church. They're a brand new church plant, really, 3 or 4 years old. They're not that old. We want to help them get established. And once we get them established, folks, we're not going to stay there forever. We're going to either help them plant another church, or we're going to find somewhere else that's smaller, newer, or never started and go help them plant a church. We want to send them in Toledo, Ohio. We want to go partner with this Laotian church that only has about 25 members. 25. We're talking like the first four rows right here. That's the whole church. There you are. It's kind of small, isn't it? But we can partner with them and help them make a difference. And the other church, it leaves me right this minute, but the other church there, those two we're going to partner with. Why? Because we want to help them go and multiply rapidly. Let me brag on you, church. You know the thing I love about it crosses my mind from time to time. We're putting up, I don't know if Andy's ever did this for you, we're putting up sheetrock in a building that we don't have sheetrock up in our own building. Does it ever cross your mind? It's really ironic sometimes, you know? And you know what Brother Carl told me yesterday? He said, now, we're coming in March. I don't know when, and we may not know till the day before. We're coming in March. We're not sure what we can do, but we want to return the favor. I said, Brother Carl, that's not why we did this. He said, it don't matter if that's why you did it or not. We're coming. We're just going to swap churches and hang sheetrock in each other's churches. We'll host them. They host us. We help get it done, right? It's a beautiful thing. Got to go and multiply rapidly. Right, we talked about our logo. I don't just want to just really quickly, we just got to blow through this because our time is up. Y'all aren't listening fast enough. It's y'all's fault. The transformation journey, right? Where is it? Don't I have the logo up there? I may have not put it back in there. Let me tell you about the logo. I don't know if you can find that, Michael, in the thing, but the logo, it's on your bulletin. You've seen it, right? It's got the logo right there, right? It's the idea. It's got the cross on it right there, right? The cross is significant. What is the cross? It represents Christ. It represents our call to go around the world. Right? Christ's love is reaching around the world. And who does he do that through? Through me and you. He didn't have to do it that way. That's the way he chooses to do it, right? Notice that the world is in the background of that logo. That's significant. Though we are small in some comparisons, though, in Southern Baptist scale, our church is a mega church compared to the average Southern Baptist church size, by the way. We're called to go to the world, to every part of the world, the ends of the earth, to Indonesia, to the Sangal Sakadal people group, but also right here in our back door to Petal Primary and in the neighborhoods of Petal. And you got the children's, the Center for Children and Families going to be there this morning. You can go into the inner city of Petal, downtown Petal, different areas where you can reach that are not currently being reached, and you can go and reach them. That's our call. And notice the shape. What does it incur? It gives an idea of movement. It is a circle. It's moving. It doesn't stop. So listen, some of us kind of get on our blessed assurance and think, well, I've done all four. I'm good. No, you're not. And that's me. I'm saying I've done all four. I'm good. No, I'm not. You know what my call is? My call is to grab somebody else and take them around the circle and help them understand what it means to connect, grow, commit, and go. And then when they get the idea and they get the understanding, then they go and grab somebody else. And I leave them and say, good luck. I love you. Praying for you. Let's keep up with each other. But I got somebody else I got to go grab. And I go share Christ and win them to Jesus. And they connect, grow, commit, go. And then the four of us go. And the eight of us go. And the 16 of us go. And the 32. And there it goes. This logo is significant. And what is Petal First Baptist? You notice, I loved it about it. I'm not sure we did it intentionally. We kind of revised the logo. But where does the logo sit? Inside of the world. What did Jesus say? I didn't call you to go out of the world. I called you to be in the world, but not of the world. Our logo is not outside the world, looking and judging the world and saying, gosh, y'all are sorry sinners. We are to be in the world, to love them, to share with them, to show them the love of Christ so they can find Jesus. That's Petal First Baptist call. All right? Let's talk about these core convictions. I don't know if that was what there was next. The core convictions. These kind of help us, guide us. What are our core convictions? What are we about? Three things. Number one, intentional relationships. We're called to connect. Who? With Jesus, personally and corporately, meaningful and passionate worship. Folks, we want, our desire when you come to this building is that you come in passionate worship. My hope and prayer is that you passionately worship Jesus just as much as you do in the Southern Miss football game. In the first quarter when they're still winning, all right? They're just as passionately, all right? Good. Some of you are finally woke up. Praise the Lord, right? Okay, so it's passionately, or Ole Miss, or Mississippi State, or whoever it is, that you're just as passionate about that, and you get just excited. And I'll be honest with you, I want to be just as excited yesterday of hanging sheetrock. I want to just as passionate about that, because you know what that was yesterday? That was worship. Now, some of you, I won't name them in the other room, they got real passionate. They had a set of sheetrock over there that had like 400 screws in one piece of sheetrock. Why aren't y'all laughing right here? It's funny. Just had to slide that in right there. Of course, their team beat us. They were in a bigger room than we were, and we were smaller, but we got it done. We all got it done. I want to be passionate about that. We had a good time. We want to be passionate about it. Meaningful and passionate worship, prayerful dependence. Now, let me challenge you a little bit. I was disappointed. I'll be honest with you. We set up a 24-hour prayer, 24 hours of prayer. And maybe you prayed and you didn't sign up, and praise God for that, and that's awesome, and you didn't in your prayer closet and didn't want to sign up. That's good. But look on the sign-up list. We had like 6 or 7 hours that didn't get committed to pray for. And there was a Sunday. We've had a couple Sundays, and last week we had 325, 330 people in the building. That includes kids, so let's just take out 120 just to be nice. 200 adults. We couldn't grab. Why? Because we're just too busy. We don't have time to pray an hour. Well, let me be honest with you. I'm going to be frank as honest as I can be. Then we don't need to go to Shekinah Glory again. We don't need to have a garage sale again. We don't do anything again until we know that we can pray. Are you with me? Amen. That's a hard word. I know it's a hard word. Now, I love going to Shekinah Glory. But if we can't do the others, and if we're not going to do anything else, we are going to pray first. Because if we don't pray first, then God's not going to bless a garage sale that's going to help us go send people to Haiti. And God is not going to bless us going to Shekinah Glory unless we pray. Ouch, I know that hurts. I'm just being truthful with you. We want to intense relationships with others inside the church. We want to fellowship, know each other. Tonight, intentionally tonight, we're going to come to celebrate. We're coming to fellowship. There is no massive program plan. We're going to sit around a table and talk and eat and share together on purpose, intentionally, with no agenda. Why? Because we don't do it often enough. We're too busy. So on purpose tonight, we're going to have chicken and fish. We don't have you cook anything unless a dessert, which I still need you to sign up for to bring desserts. There it was, Sherry Conklin came to me just an hour later. There it is. Needs to bring some desserts. We got 8 folks. Need a couple more desserts tonight, all right? So there you go. We want you to come in fellowship and not be in a hurry to run out the door. We want you to take your time and eat in fellowship. And then we're going to come to this altar, and we're going to keep tables away from the altar. We're going to come. We're going to pray. We're going to get on our knees, and if we're on our faces, we're going to say, God, we're committing this to you. We're committing our lives to you to see what you're going to do. Prayerful dependence. with others inside the church, with others outside the church. We want to fellowship. We want to be intentional about that. Evangelism. I got to run through here. Go to the next one. Transform lives. Here's the picture. How do we know? What's the measuring stick, Petal First Baptist? Remember we talked about a new scorecard, right? Our new scorecard is not the four things. We're still going to count them. They're significant. Buildings, bodies, baptisms, and budgets, right? All those B's, right? They're important, but the new measuring stick is how many lives are being truly transformed, and we see it. How many people are connecting? How many people are growing? How many people are committing sacrificially so much so that it changes their schedule and the way they live their lives? And they're willing to look at somebody and say, no, I cannot do that because I've got to do this. That's not important, but this is more important. And I'm going to be honest with you, there are things in our culture that might change if some believers just look at some people and said, we're not doing that. Well, then you can't do this, you can't do that. Well, then I won't. Hello? We just got to be bold and brave, not judgmental and ugly, but just simply say, I'm being transformed. Spiritual growth, deeper in the Word of God, vibrant leadership. And vibrant leadership, what does that mean? Happy-go-lucky, bounce-off-the-walls leadership? No, vibrant leadership is that it is not just dependent upon this pastor, but it's dependent upon you, the church. And then we're raising up new leaders all the time that are taking the mantle of leadership and going. I'm not going to Indonesia this trip. I didn't go the first one. I'm not going to Toledo, Ohio. Why? Because they're leaders who God has raised up, and I don't have to go everywhere. Praise God. My wife says, thank God. I've been in churches where you had to go everywhere and do everything. Praise God. God is raising some of you up. I don't have to go to every senior adult event. I don't have to go to every student ministry event. I don't have to go to every children preschool event. Why? Because God is raising up leaders who'll say, I'll take this and go with it. That's a core value. We want to do more of that. Guess what? We don't have everybody we need yet, just in case you're wondering. Hence why we're having a ministry missions fair. Right? I can tell you right now, you can take that list out. There are people we need. We need more children's leaders. We need more preschool leaders. We need more youth leaders. We need more, youth leaders, we got a pretty good amount, but you might could grab some more, do some different things. We need more folks to go to these corners, by the way. When you go to the ministry missions fair, a lot of you are going to these corners. I need you to go to these corners because these corner people gave me lots of feedback last Sunday, and it was not good feedback. They fussed at me. Please don't make them fuss at me. Please go to their table. Would you do that just for me? Just nod if I know that you're at least alive, okay? Your heart is beating. Okay, good. Once you walk around, even if you walked around last week, just go walk at them and smile at them at least and say, I did the preacher a favor, okay? We want to grab these. There's tables, new teams yet to be done, all kinds of places you can connect and be a part of serving. Disciples, reproducing disciples. Man, there's so much we could talk about here. Goodness gracious, I need like days. Missional living. I want you to live missionally, that everything in our lives are missional. Serving inside the church in a ministry, serving outside the church, evangelism. It's why we did shoes. It's why we're doing backpacks for kids on the weekend. Why are we doing that? Because we want to share the gospel ultimately. Now, it won't start that way to start with, but we begin to build a bridge and a road to some of these families. They say, why does that church keep sending my kid home food? They don't have to. And our prayers, we begin to be able to connect with them and say to them, this is why. Because we know that Jesus is the bread of life. Let me give you water. You will never thirst again. We want to come alongside those families and love them and encourage them and help them. Why do we want to have a pair of pants and a shoe? So they can learn to have shoes and a shirt and a pair of pants. Why? So we can love them to Jesus. Giving of your financial resources, time and energy. We're going to talk about it in just a moment. There's the chart. We've seen it. There it is. We want you to connect, grow, commit, and go. Where are you on that journey? And where is your next step? Roll the next one. Connect yourself and others to Christ and the church. Here are the four keywords and the four phrases. I hope you'll learn these and these become part of who you are. Connect yourselves to Christ, or connect yourself and others to Christ and the church. Notice the next one. Grow in a deepening relationship with Christ. Deep, not shallow. And it's easy to be shallow, folks, in our day and age. And in church, it's easy to be shallow. We can say all the right answers, right? We all know what to say. Any answer, Jesus, God, or Holy Spirit, hopefully that'll cover it, right? We can all be very, very shallow. But God wants us to go further and deeper than that. So that you look back at this time next year and you go, wow. I'd love for us to be walking around. This is a good illustration. I'd love for all of us next year to have a spiritual high waiter's pants day, right? That all of us have grown, spiritually speaking, like our kids do physically, and stay in pants for like 3 weeks, it seems. And we all walk around like this. Look what happened. I grew 3 inches. I'm being transformed and I can see it. Thirdly, I'm committing my time and resources to serve Christ and others. Lastly, I want to go and share the love of Christ with everyone, everywhere. Exclamation point. Preached that last week. We talked about the ministries align. We talked about aligning all those ministries underneath these four areas to be strategic so we can channel our resources the best we can do. We talked about the idea there is targets to look towards. We've got some goals and dreams and things we think that God wants us to do and go. And then you got the third part, the teams to connect with. All these teams out here. You've got an insert in your bulletin that tells you a lot about some of those teams. Some of those don't tell you everything you need to know, okay? Some of you are going to have to go and read and look or go talk to people. And some of these don't have anybody behind them because they're brand new teams. But we believe they're so significant, the vision that we've looked at, that we need to create these new teams. We need team leaders for some of these teams. We need helpers. We need volunteers. We need teachers. We need all those kinds of people. We've got a lot of people serving, but we want to have more. We want all of you to be able to say, well, I just don't know what to pick. There's so many options. Not, well, That's for somebody else. I don't have time for that. Folks, I'm telling you, we are encouraging you and challenging you by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Sign up somewhere. What is our vision? We want to see every person plugged in doing missions once a year. We want to see every person on a mission doing some kind of ministry in the church. We want to see every person in a life group. We said about 85%, but my vision is to see everybody, all of you in the life group. That's our goal. Resources. We didn't talk about this one very much. Resources. How are we going to make all that happen? Well, if we start doing all this stuff, we're going to have to finish space, right? Which brings us to the growing part, the commitment part of our generosity ladder, right? That generosity ladder. When you take this card out, or time is going to get away from us here this morning. I want to try to be through on time. So I'm going to take these off real quick. Just want to give this visual illustration to you one more time, okay? Everybody take your card out. Everybody got your card? Hold up in the air so I know you got it. I don't believe you if you don't have it. I want to see it in there. There you go. Good. Very good. All right? Fantastic. Now, some of you, maybe you're like me, and I'm already connecting, growing, committing, and going. So what am I going to put here? I've got more to do. I haven't arrived yet, hadn't done it all yet, neither of you. Amen? Amen. All right. Just making sure you realize that. All right? So I'm going to ask the question on the top up here. I think I got on the card here. What do I normally give on this other side? I don't know if I have the flip side yet. What do I normally give? But what do you normally give? Hopefully you've already done this already, right? My additional commitment to Vision 2020, our church ministry plan. I just want to give next year. And then my extravagant gift. Somebody asked, can I do extravagant plus giving? Like draw a ladder to the next one. If God calls you to do that, then you certainly can. That's what my family would be. We'd be an extravagant plus. And I'm so grateful. And I just love that I can give that way. That God has given me the privilege of giving that way. Right? So how do we do that? So all of you in the room that are maybe not at that point yet, we want you to start tithing immediately, right, today, or go to extravagant, right? No. That's not what we want you to do. We want you to take the next step up. We want you to highlight on that ladder. Go back to the last one, Michael, if you will. We need to go to the next step, all right? So what do we make it very simple, right? If you're first, you never give them before, we want you to give the first time. We're praying you do that today, by the way. We want you to step up in faith, and maybe it's $5. And you've never given a dollar to Jesus. We want you to give it today. Right, and make that commitment. Mark the arrow on the bottom line there that I'm going to give for the first time. Maybe the next level is for some of you. What is to, not that one, got to go backwards here. Going to get there eventually. Occasional givers, right? You're going to be an occasional giver. Okay, you've given before, right? But you've not given any sense of consistency. I want at least to give occasionally. Someone say, well, that's not good enough. Oh, it is. We want you to take the next step, right? The third one is intentional. I want to move from being an occasional giver. I've given 4 or 5 times a year. But I'm going to start giving with intentionality. I'm going to plan on giving this amount. And I'm going to be the tithe yet, but I'm going to start giving intentionally. It's not going to be I got $5 in my wallet. I'll give that. No, it's going to be intentional. You're going to plan it out, right? The next one is tithing. The biblical model, the 10% of what we believe that God has called us to do as believers is to give that 10% to the Lord. A lot of people in Christendom get all fired up about tithing. It doesn't bother me at all because I believe it's biblical and I think God calls us far beyond that anyway. But it's a starting point. It's a 10% mark. Maybe the term you use to line that next from intentional to tithing to mark that area in. And then lastly, some of you, God's going to call you to give extravagantly. A lot of you are already doing this already. We're already doing Outlive Your Life, which we want to continue that, but let all those monies go to help pay and finish space and not go towards the building payment. But to give extravagantly, I can just tell you, this is the best place to be. I just got to tell you, there's nowhere better place that I'd rather be than that level. Don't be discouraged. If you're down here and you haven't got the first time, then just go to the next level. It's okay. I'm praying today that we have an opportunity to show tonight a little flip chart and see how many people said, I'm going to be a first-time giver. How many people are going to be occasional givers, moving the level? How many are going to be intentional, tithing, extravagant? How many people are going to make that step? And so you're thinking, I don't know how I'm going to be able to do that, God. Let's take the next step. Get in the water and see what God will do and honor you. Right? I believe God will bless you for it with all my heart. Now, the other part, and just as important, in fact, as important or more, and that is that my participation commitment at the bottom of that card. Where is the next step for you in these areas, in connecting and growing and committing and going? These are just examples. Maybe for some of you to connect needs you to join the church. You've been attending for a while, and God's clearly said, join the church. Right?
Join the church.
So that's God speaking, join the church. So your next step is to join the church. Maybe you found Christ saving Lord, never been baptized.
Get baptized.
There's your things right there, okay? Maybe it's to get growing in a life group. You're not in a life group yet, okay? Or maybe for some of you, you're in a life group, but you come once every 6 weeks. When you don't oversleep or feel decent or whatever, doesn't have anything else happening the weekend, and I could actually get here. Your commitment is, I'm going to grow. I'm going to be a part of a life group. But I'm going to be an active part. I'm going to serve in my life group. I'm going to invite people in my life group. I'm going to help my life group multiply so we can make another one. That's your level. Commit. You need to commit to a team. You're on any kind of team. Or maybe you're on a team. Maybe you sing in the choir. You're on the worship team, but that doesn't require maybe hours and hours every week. So you want to take another step and say, I want to go here. I want to commit to go and do something in a ministry. Right? And the going. We got four particular, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 opportunities over here. All of our four areas plus the outside ministries that are here today that you can find out more information about. And how you get connected and plugged in. Pregnancy Choices and the Petals Children's Task Force and the Center for Children and Families and Lifeline Adoption Services and Christian Women's Job Corps. All those are back there. And you can find out more information as well as all of our mission efforts as well. You say, I'm going to go. I'm going to go on a one-day mission trip. We're going to plan more Shekinah Glory trips. We're going to do Backyard Bible Clubs this summer. We're going to go into our community. There are going to be multiple opportunities. So you don't have to say, I'm going to do something this year. And we're not going to reveal who these names are, but if we're going to see on here and say, wow, we had 20 people that said they're going to do missions this year. They've not been doing it before. So tonight we want to come celebrate. Tonight wants to be a party. We want to rejoice and celebrate at the generosity and the commitment of Petal First Baptist. And we're going to do it in good old Southern Baptist style with chicken and fish. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you this morning. Lord, I thank you for the time to be together. I know I've been really long this morning. Just trying to wrap all this up. I hate sometimes when I go so long, but Lord, this is just so important. I'm so passionate about this. It's so important that our church, and not only our church, but any other church, understands the incredible opportunity that you're placing before us as believers. And Lord, I pray this morning that you would put on our hearts what our commitment is. Our generosity commitment, and Lord, our commitment to these four areas. Teenager, adult alike, Lord, you put that call in their lives to come bring this card to the altar and say, Lord, I'm putting this before you. This is my commitment. And we'll take the next step, whatever that is. So, Lord, I pray that we would respond quickly. Our time is short. We've got a ministry mission sphere to do, and there are people waiting to be here. So, Lord, I pray that we would not sit and wait and think a while. Hopefully, we've already come prepared, but if not, we'll stay seated. That's fine, Lord, and fill this card out and bring it to the altar. Not to me or to Chris. You bring it to the altar and put it before the Lord. But Chris and I will be here to receive you. If you have decisions to make to follow Christ, to join this church family, we're here to do that as well, to pray with you, whatever the case may be. God, I pray this moment, this will be one of those defining moments in the history of our church where people stepped up and said yes, yes, and yes to every area we're asking people to step up to. God, would you move in a powerful way this morning? Father, there's a place that we are at this morning where your grace covers us all, and I pray we would step deep into that grace this morning and just take the next step. God, we love you. We look forward to what you're going to do right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand?